Welcome. You're listening to the Grow Ortho Podcast, presented by Hip Creative. This podcast is dedicated to those who want to stand strong in their market and be leaders in their community. Now onto the show with your host, Luke Infinger.
So Aaron, thanks so much for taking the time to chat today. We're going to talk about how to increase ROI and differentiate your orthodontic practice or dental practice with a direct mail campaign. So super excited to have you on today.
Excited to be here. Thanks so much.
Awesome. So just give us a quick intro about yourself, just personally, your background, and then how MVP Mailhouse got started.
Okay. Well, I probably have a different road than most. So from the very beginning, I grew up on a goat farm. Not many people know that. And I milked a lot of goats and I developed strong hands and I wanted to get off the goat farm. I didn't want to live there forever. So I actually, you'll see a lot of football here in the background and helmets. So my road was actually, I played pro football for 9 years. I played college football down in the SEC at the University of Kentucky from out west. Originally. But anyway, I was lucky enough to kind of that small town kid that kind of live out a dream and bounce around a lot of pro teams. I was never good enough to stay in one place very long, but I bounced around from Chicago or from Dallas to Chicago Bears to Carolina Panthers. I played in NFL Europe for a few seasons in Germany. And then I played arena football for a few years too. And my claim to fame, Bon Jovi was my boss for a part of a year. So anyway, I never got my, you know, here's how I got into dentistry and into dental marketing is I never got rich and famous. So I had to get a real job. And it kind of led me down this road. And specifically, I got into direct mail about 10 years ago. So I've been doing this for a lot of years. And I've really kind of dedicated my, you know, a career outside of football to pioneering better methods and better results to direct mail specifically. So we only, MVP stands for most valuable practice. It lets me talk a little bit of sports because I do like sports, but also how we can help individual practices kind of become the most valuable practice. And our niche is just dental orthodontic space and just targeted and direct mail. So we're very niche based in what we do. And our business model is pretty simple. Do one thing for one industry and do it ridiculously better than anybody else. So there's my sales pitch.
Awesome. Love it. Thanks so much for that intro. So tell us a little bit more about direct mail. How does it work in the digital age?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I get asked when I tell people what I do for a living now and what I've done for the last year is they're shocked. I started MVP, although I've been doing this for about 10 years. I started MVP about 4 years ago and, you know, chased my own American dream, so to speak, like many of you practice owners out there that that opened your own practices. And the first thing people always say is they kind of look at me, direct mail? Is that still a thing? Do you live under a rock? Did you not know there's the internet? And I'm like, oh yeah, I have heard of the internet. In fact, I've embraced it. And I think what we've done really unique with our direct mail is we've taken an old kind of proven marketing medium in direct mail that's been around for years and we've evolved it. And I think that's the real game changer. I'm leveraging technology from the digital age but bringing it to an old form of marketing in direct mail. One of the main differences, I mean, if you really think about it, digital, I mean, we are inundated now with digital. I mean, a lot of the stuff I see with ads and things like this, and it's the new junk mail in some ways because there's so many ads. Now, and I'm not bagging on digital. I absolutely believe every practice should have a digital campaign or, you know, obviously web presence and reviews and all those things matter. But the beauty of direct mail is I can physically touch, reach out to these people. And with our technology, we've been able to better target, better track, and get better results by controlling the variables through the process. And I think that's the real game changer. We all get excited about digital when you can log in and see a dashboard and see, oh, I had this many impressions or this many people liked me and, those things are valuable. We've just brought some of that same, those same aspects to direct mail.
And would you say fewer businesses are doing direct mail today because of the internet than 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, that's actually an interesting point. There's a number of things that I've seen just over these 10 years of how results, because we track everything. And I'll get into a little more details later, but literally every call's recorded, every home that we touch, that we track down to the front desk, et cetera. So, you know, to give you kind of a sample pool, I've worked with offices, both dental and orthodontist, all across the country. 47 states, I mean, Alaska, Hawaii. There's a couple states that have eluded me. But outside of that, I mean, I've mailed over 100 million car mailings, and we've tracked those results. So it's really given us a really great kind of sample of what we're seeing, results by week, by month. When should you do it? Is there seasonality in it? What are people responding to? You know, and to your question, yes. I don't, you know, it's hard to put your finger on it exactly. Is our results going up because of better tools and technology, or is it because there's less inundation in that mailbox?
Yeah.
When you get it. And that's kind of the balance. I see, yes, less offices are doing it in general because they're dedicating more money to the online space. But as I talk to offices across the country, I still think there's plenty of offices that are frustrated with their digital campaigns as well. And sometimes I'll hear, hey, have you ever done direct mail? Yeah, I did it once a long time ago. It didn't work. And that's actually right. One of my favorite conversation starters. Well, let's talk about that. There's something to be learned. You know, I played pro football for 9 years. You can learn more from a loss oftentimes than you can from a win. And I want to know why it didn't. What did you mail? Where did you mail it? What did it say? Did your front desk answer the phone calls? Did they come in for treatment? You see, there's a lot of variables there that could impact if it worked and did it not work. And I think that's the painstaking part of this is really diving into the details to know and have answers so you can make adjustments.
Yeah, for sure. I know for me, you know, just my background being in digital marketing, 6 years ago, I was like, oh, don't do anything traditional. Should all go to digital. And I started to learn that just truly wasn't the case. There's still a lot of value with traditional marketing. We even do that for ourselves as an agency, traditional marketing. And I think the key is you want to do as much as possible, right? Like when you look at these big brands, they're everywhere. Like Coca-Cola or Starbucks or Apple, like they literally just saturate the market. And not that a small practice should think like Apple, but if you look at becoming the household name of your community and omnipresence, that's something that we teach on a lot. You have to be open, and not only open, but set aside budgets to be able to do these types of things that really you can fire on all cylinders, yes. You know, and maybe for some offices, it's, you're not putting up 20 billboards. You're just doing a few, you're running direct mail campaigns, seasonally, you know, with timed, things. Like for instance, if moving into, fall, you know, you typically slow down, why not send out a direct mail campaign with an offer, ramp things back up. So I think it needs to be strategic. But like you said, with the digital age and kind of the new junk mail and ads, that is totally the case. Not only that, just digital period, we are inundated with messages, whether it be, you know, text, email, phone calls, voicemails, you know, ads, Instagram, Facebook, you know, whatever it may be, to get offline. And when you do touch something physically, you're probably going to focus on it a little more than if you were on your phone, you know, just jumping around from thing to thing to thing. So I think it's very strategic to layer in direct mail. And I think a lot more practices are starting to realize that and go back to it. So anyway, that's kind of my two cents.
I'm with you 100%. I think a good game plan, and it's both, you know, to football speak, you have a passing game and a running game.
Yeah.
And you need to complement each other, because if you're too dominant in one, there's opportunity for your opponents, your competition, to gain ground on you. Because you become a little predictable. And I also think people respond to different things. Okay. So meaning, you know, one of our coolest tools that I'm most proud of that we built early on is we built a mapping tool called MapIQ. And it's really interesting to analyze patient data. Okay. What a typical approach for a lot of offices is to market is they'll pin drop their location and they draw a radius. You know, we've all heard, okay, let's do a 3-mile radius, 5-mile, 10-mile, whatever your radius might be based on population density, et cetera. The problem is people don't come to your practice in an even circle. It's not like right. 5 miles to north, they're coming. 5 miles to south, I'm good. And you're putting marketing dollars assuming that people come to you in a perfect circle. And it's not the case. I've analyzed literally 1,000 practices of as far as our MapIQ will pin drop out your patients. So I like to look specifically at the last couple of years. I don't go back 10 years or 20 years for you older practices because neighborhoods change, they evolve, competition is created around you. But what I find really interesting about our MapIQ tool is when I pin drop out these patients, there's almost always geographical barriers of entry. Mental barriers of entry, like, oh no, we don't cross that side of the tracks, you know, so to speak, or an interstate. People don't jump over an interstate. Another trend I see is people tend to migrate towards a city, a major city, rather than pull out of a major city to come to you. So if you're out in these suburban areas, it's really hard to pull people out to you, but people will travel in from feeder towns and communities.
Yeah.
So rather than guess, And I can guess all day, and I do for grand openings, right? You almost have to guess where people are going to come from, is we're able to better target. Because as cool as all of our tech is, this is where I find my best results. And it sounds really simple. Target, identify your hottest neighborhoods of where patients are coming from now, and target their neighbors. I know it sounds really simple, but the beauty of direct mail and how it's evolved is I can mail this to just the neighbors and take out your patients. So one, you save the expense of sending to an existing patient and the postage, but you're hitting those hottest neighborhoods. And those are some of the advancements that we've created over the last few years that didn't exist. Anyone that's done direct mail typically will say, oh yeah, we hit the whole city or the whole zip code, right? Those days are gone. People need to understand that we can be more specific now. We can hone in just on these certain neighborhoods. So one, that lowers the price of your investment. Two, it typically increases results and profitability too, and ROI at the end of the day. So by leveraging some of these tools, I think, like you were saying, you can get, and this is applicable in digital too. Can you hit these best, hottest neighborhoods? Focus on new mover growth and new areas. But the misconception I think a lot of dentists have, especially young ones, is that they have to take over the whole world to be successful. You don't. Literally, if you dominate this core area, it might only be a mile, 2 miles from your practice. There are 20,000 homes, right? Even if you only have a 5% market share, you can be a wildly successful practice. So anyway, the MapIQ is a really cool tool to just kind of see. And you know, anyone watching this, I'm happy to do a free analysis for you. I'll pin drop out your patients and show you exactly where people are coming from.
That's awesome. Talk a little bit about direct mail in regards to what it costs and is it expensive?
Yeah, that's a great question. So is it expensive? It can be expensive if it's not working, for sure. Can it be profitable? You know, I know, you know, a lot of the audience may be watching this with orthodontic practices. Are braces expensive? Yeah. They can be, right? But what is the end result? Can it be one of your best investments in your child or in your own smile? 100%. It's an investment. So I look at it more like that. Can it be expensive? Yes. Is it more expensive than maybe digital campaigns? It can be. And maybe because the main expense there is postage. So you got to understand, we're able to design, print, ship, mail, track every single call that comes in. We even do a post-mailing audit where I'll show you every, I match your practice management results with our call tracking and I match everything up. So our offices are going to know for good or bad exactly how many calls they got, how well their front desk handled every call, how many people scheduled, production, everything. I'm back to football. I don't want this to be a guessing game at the end of the game. You're going to be able to look up, see the scoreboard and know exactly what happened and how well each one of the players performed through this process. Okay. It's very, very visible. So can it be expensive? Well, yeah, the bulk of our cost goes right to postage. I mean, we do everything for less than the cost of a stamp alone. So depending on your quantity, around 40 to 44 cents per card. And that includes postage, the full design, the full printing, shipping, everything. So where it can be expensive, I guess, is more as it's not necessarily a markup on our end or even our profits. We make pennies per card. The real expense is postage. And that has gone up regularly. Every year or so, the post office will raise it a little bit. I mean, we know the post office has had its own set of problems out there.
Yeah.
And those are some things that we do actually to, I guess, minimize the postage, how much they're actually touching this. Okay. I don't want them to mess this up because the day of the week you hit homes, it actually matters which weeks you mail. So for example, we're coming up on some things here in May. A lot of orthodontic offices don't think about. I don't recommend to mail the week schools get out. Why? Well, think about it. I'm a dad with four kids and it's a zoo the last week of school. That's the furthest thing from my mind. My daughter, ironically, is actually starting braces tomorrow. We're prepping things. We've planted these seeds before schools get out, or a lot of people will do it right after schools get out, but don't mail the week school gets out. It's that simple. Two is avoid 3-day weekends like Memorial Day. I like hitting early in the week. I want these cards hitting homes while people are fresh on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, rather than on a Saturday where you could care less about doing anything productive and goes right to the trash. So little things like that, people don't really think, but as I've analyzed 100 million cards, we've concluded some of these best practices to help you be more successful. So yeah, and the reason why 3-day weekends, think about it. If you're hitting Monday and there's no mail delivered, what happens on Tuesday? You have twice as much mail in the mailbox. Now you run the chance of being lost in the shuffle, so to speak, with just maybe too much mail that day. So anyway, some things like that. So expensive, you know, it really depends on what you get back. For me, it's about, I call it first downs and touchdowns. First downs is how many patients do you get from this? But if all those patients just come in and waste your time with exams and don't actually accept any treatment, first downs don't win games, okay? Touchdowns are when you get the starts or when you get the production. And that's what I like matching up both these. Let's track both these first downs, these good successes. Oh, great. We just scheduled an appointment from Johnny. That's awesome. He's coming in Tuesday at 2. That's good, right? We know that they called from the postcard, but that means nothing if they don't actually commit or come in. And then those touchdowns evolve as they start to refer friends and family and it grows. So
anyway. Absolutely. Yeah. Now we talked a little bit about this, but how can direct mail complement digital marketing?
That's a great question. So most any marketing 101 class, regardless of the medium, will talk about touches, right? Impressions. How many times does someone need to see your brand or hear? You talked about Coca-Cola, Apple. We see it everywhere, right? It's like, you know, even Amazon literally does direct mail now. They mail I just got a catalog from them the other day to literally go through. You think of them as a digital company, right? Online, granted they mail stuff, but it's online. Well, they're getting new business by mailing to homes via direct mail. So what I have heard, and it's evolved, I think, like we talked about, maybe the inundation of junk mail / junk ads, is I was reading a study back in 2007 that it took about 7 impressions to push someone over the edge. In 2017, 10 years later, it went to almost 20. And this was a certain group, and I don't have the source here right here with me, but that just kind of shows you where we've evolved. We are literally inundated with so many things. Now, I don't know how they track the 20 impressions or all those things, you know, 20 touches. What I can say is there are multiple touch points, whether it's driving past your office and seeing a sign on the way to work, whether it's getting a direct mail piece, whether it's seeing an ad pop up, a Facebook post, a review, all of these things are going to influence your practice for the good. And I think you should do them and find what works best. It sounds simple, but once you kind of find what is working well for your practice, put more money there and maybe scale back on the others or stop some of the others. And what works today, this is the tricky part, might not be what works for you in 18 months. And that's, you know, you also know as a marketer, it can evolve. You know, you're hitting, you got this secret pitch, you know, you're throwing this curveball no one can hit. It's awesome. But people start figuring things out, or technology evolves, or Google changes an algorithm for you and and something isn't working like it used to be. So that's how I think it complements. Direct mail can complement digital marketing, just like digital marketing can complement direct mail. All of these things are out there in viable sources for offices, and just do best practices is my best advice. Find best practices, try them for your office and see what works.
Yeah. And certainly there's other ways too. I think, you know, if you're working with a digital marketing company, direct mail company, maybe you run the same offer on both platforms. And we haven't even talked about this, but the opportunity to even use the same list, you know, as you guys are producing these targeted lists, we could take those lists and put those lists into Facebook and run the same offer to those people there. So then it can all work together. And that's what I think is so cool. And it's totally possible to definitely tie these offline and online strategies together.
That's a great 1-2 punch. You're absolutely right. And it's shrinking down some of that budget on both sides, right? Because it's more concentrated to these hottest areas, like I talked about. So for sure.
So what's the trick? What have you really seen in terms of messaging work the best, and do these practices need an offer?
Great question. So, you know, as I look at as postcards that we've mailed all across the country, we listen to every incoming recording that comes. If someone calls that number on the card, it's recorded, right? Now, not everyone calls that. Some people will Google and call through the Google listing number, but typically we're able to capture 50 to 70% of the results from that tracking number. Okay. Number one, let me make this very clear. Offers do work. Okay. Have I had successful campaigns without offers? Absolutely. But in general, offers will work. And it doesn't mean that these patients are going to be price shoppers or bad patients because they respond to a deal. Okay. All of us like deals. If you're a normal human, and unless you're flying your own private jet, you probably like a deal. But I guess, you know, I would even venture that even those people still would like a deal. Okay. So I think it's more of understanding the value. So what I say in offers is this: the more confident you are in retention, the more aggressive you could be in an offer. Okay. Now that's more for a dental practice, but for an ortho practice, the more confident and good you are at case acceptance, the more aggressive you could be in an offer. You need to get them in the door and in your chair, and they're going to like the ambience. They're going to like your team. They're going to like your chairside manner, your methodology. I mean, it varies by practice for sure. But if those aren't your strengths, then you need kind of more skin in the game, so to speak, before they come in. So for orthodontic practices, free consultation, that's not new. 90% of the offices I work with or more are probably already offering that, but you got to understand there's reciprocating events that come from that offer. Number one, you eliminate that barrier of entry. Oh, all right. I can find out if my kid's a candidate for direct mail. I can find out if it's time. I don't know. Maybe he's too young. Well, rather than think about it, let's just come in. There's a free consultation. I can sit down. And if nothing else, like my daughter, we first took her in 2 years ago and she is just starting tomorrow because it wasn't time for her. But we planted that seed, we developed that relationship, and now I'm their patient. And I got three other boys that most likely are going to need braces that are younger than her. That orthodontic office is going to get probably 4 patients from just my family, let alone the people that we refer. So offer. And one of the biggest reasons why we went in there initially was simply because they gave us a free consultation. And when they weren't greedy in like just throwing our embraces, we're like, huh, I really respect that guy. Because my father-in-law is also a dentist who looked at the same x-rays. And he said, you know, I don't think it's quite time, but he lives in another state and he's not an ortho specialist, right? But he kind of gave us feedback. I don't know if she's quite ready. And sure enough, this orthodontist wasn't greedy and just wanting to get dollars and said, hey, why don't you hold off? Let's check her again next year. And now eventually we're starting with them. Now they've developed that trust. So free consultations work if you can get in. Now, if you're the next part of that, you know, for a dental office, how does that equate for a dental office? Well, what kind of initial offers? You know, you have free exam, you have real expense in cleaning and hygiene. So, you know, that's probably something you don't want to give away per se, but could you get them in the door for an exam and x-ray or those offers you see $59, $99? It all varies. And I've seen all of them work from a free to a $249 exam and x-ray, right? In higher markets, they can work if positioned correctly, but understanding behind that, there's more to it. Is that going to drive a cash patient or an insurance patient? When I put dollar amounts on a card, 99, 79, whatever, that is going to typically drive, here's one right here, big, bold, $99 exam and x-ray down in Amarillo, Texas. That card has done incredibly well for cash patients. But if I see a $99 exam x-ray, that does nothing for me if I'm an insurance patient.
Right.
I look at that as free. So what do you use to drive insurance people? Well, you let them know, number one, that you accept most insurances or their insurance. Two, you also, that's where you typically see like the free whitening, the things like that, is because, oh, I come in, I use my insurance for the exam, x-ray, cleaning, and I'm going to leave with a free whitening. That's how that those messages. So understand the offer. So yeah, there's a lot of discussion there, and I don't want to continue to talk. Sorry, I've gone kind of long on it in general. But it is an interesting thing to analyze and see, because when we listen to those recordings, I know how many people are asking about that offer versus that offer. And the ability in direct mail to change offers is important too. If everyone's calling about offer A, but no one about offer B, or very small people, let's change offer B, put something new out there to see if it'll grab more eyeballs for your particular practice.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks so much for those insights. And then you mentioned tracking with specifically phone number. What are some of the other ways you track? I mean, are you guys using specific landing pages, QR codes? What's that look like?
Yeah, good question. So number one is yes, the phone number on the card is a local number. So when people get the card, they call, it goes right to the office. The office answers it just like any other call, but it's being recorded. Now, one thing unique about MVP is within hours, we listen to that recording. It's not that fun, I promise, to listen to these calls, but it is, how can I give you advice if I don't know if you had one call or 100 calls? And that's a disconnect sometimes in marketing. Well, now I know exactly how many calls you had from that. I know exactly what happened, who scheduled, and we write all that down. To control one of those variables, we actually provide free front desk training, because we all need your front desk to do a good job. Okay. If they don't answer the call, which by the way, happens almost 1 in 3 calls, 33% of the time, the front desk doesn't even answer your incoming call, and only 10% are leaving a voicemail, you're already setting yourself up for failure. Okay. So we just want to control that variable, make sure that they're answering the call, make sure that it's handled well, and that it's being scheduled. So anyway, does that kind of make sense on the tracking? So then as we listen to those recordings, that's one, is we're able to link, because we write down the name of every patient that we hear, we capture some data. At the end of every month or every quarter, depending on the office, we then merge our results. So I have you export, the practice, export their patient list over the last 3 months, and I export my list, and I'm able to match names, phone numbers, addresses we mailed to versus addresses of your new patients, and I can show you all those results. So it's pretty cool, because I can say, hey, this person says they're from Google, but ironically, 3 days before, they got a postcard. So there's some indirect benefit too, right? That I can't take 100% credit because I don't have a name or don't have a recording, but I know that they got a postcard 3 days before they came in. And that's how you kind of, you talked about linking digital and direct. And that's where you kind of see the snowball effect. And then we know last step, sorry, is we go back and pin drop out all of your results back to that heat map.
Oh, wow.
And I show you where your new results have came from over the last few months since you started.
And then you could just keep piggybacking off of that, you know, moving forward. And you that's kind of awesome.
Fine tune it. So typically my goal is to actually have an office mail less over time, more concentrated than ballooning out further and further, because direct mail can get expensive if you're mailing, or impossible, literally, if you're getting too wide, too broad, because different than digital, direct mail, you do want to be close. Proximity is more important in direct mail than in digital, because in digital, people might be searching, oh, root canals nearby or whatever it might be. And even though you're 6 miles across town, they'll go because they see us, they proactively are looking. Where direct mail, vice versa, you're proactively finding, and people want to be close. Oh, I do need a dentist, or I do need an ortho. Oh, wow, he's right down the street. Perfect. And it connects those dots.
Yeah, that's great. Tell us a little bit about results you've seen, as specific as you can be, some success stories.
Yeah, great question. So, you know, it's been really interesting over the years to see. And I would say I've seen just a recent one that just came in this month is from an office. He called me about 18 months ago. He was trying to do direct mail himself down in Texas. He was trying to do direct mail himself for a few months as he opened his practice. He had a belief in direct mail because prior he had been an associate, I want to say for about 12 years at a big DSO group, and they were putting a lot of money in direct mail. So he saw what it could do. So as he opened his practice, and he's chasing his own American dream, he believed in direct mail and wanted to do it, but he wasn't able to do it well enough by himself. So anyway, he started with us and he said, I want to be aggressive. So I put together an aggressive plan for just an initial to sample it and test it out for these first 3 months. Okay. Literally a month and a half into it, he said, I want to be more aggressive. It was working so well. So we even upped it. Well, 18 months later, and along the way, he kept renewing, but now he just, all right, let's put together a year plan rather than these shorter terms, because he knew that it was working and I could show him what he was making, meaning we were linking all the patients, we're linking production. His recent testimonial that he just wrote me, 18 months in, he'd already collected over $2 million in production just from postcard patients alone that I 100% matched to the postcards via tracking number and others, let alone there's probably more value that you can't always track 100%, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are just going to walk in and just say, oh, I drive past your office on the way to work, but they heard about you through the direct mail. But regardless, $2 million is not bad in 18 months for a practice of a guy that just, and he knew what he was doing. He'd been an associate for, like I said, 12 years. He had a game plan. He came in, he just wanted to hit it hard. So he invested into himself and his practice, and it worked great. Others, I like working with offices. One, I have a soft spot for grand openings. I love people that are taking that leap of faith, and I want to help them. Does it always work? No, for sure. But the grand openings, I think, is a part where direct mail is really one of your number one options initially. Get the word out there to these closest best homes. Okay, why your SEO starts ramping up, right? Why some of your ads start tracking, but you need patients. Empty chair time's expensive. From the orthodontist side, I have an orthodontist down in Florida who I've worked with him for years, and it is awesome to watch his practice grow. Now he's actually scaled back to where he doesn't mail every month. He mails kind of like you talked about, two times a year, and he hits it really hard. He's mailing literally like 100,000 cards, and he'll do it pre-spring, February, March, to kind of plant the seeds as people start coming in, getting these exams. And then he knows summer is going to be crazy, and it's kind of like his feeder system. Then he handles his busy summer season, and as soon as it starts dying out in September, boom, he goes and hits all of those 100,000 homes again. And we break it up. You know, we splice him out for weeks so you can help with call volume control and all those things. We logistically put together a schedule. We don't mail all of them at once. That is a bad idea. You're going to miss a lot of opportunities, and you're going to schedule people too far out and have more no-shows. So don't worry. We help manage each load. But that is his strategy. And I can't even remember. I want to say he had 1,000 starts last year. Like, he is rolling and doing great. And he's another one that we just have that trust. Now, other orthodontists literally mail every single month that I have based on their area. So every area is unique. And I think that's what's important with results and success stories is every office is unique. And I don't, you know, do I have offices that get 100 calls on one mailing? Yeah. Do I have them that only get 2? Yeah. Are they both happy? Yeah. Some of them, because those 2 may be big cases, or maybe their next mailing does more. Like, so it's kind of hard to, I'm kind of against typical blanket statements.
Yeah.
I'm looking at each office individually because every office has different goals and different budgets and different purposes. And that's one of the beauties, I think, of what we've tried to build with MVP is I don't want this big, scalable, huge business that is one size fits all, whether you're in Manhattan or Farmington, New Mexico, it's the same thing across the board. That's not what works. And you've seen it in marketing. You've got to have a unique approach.
Yeah, and looking at, you know, people ask me a lot, what's average results look like? Well, that's impossible to answer because if I'm taking someone who has just a small goal or someone who isn't set up to do well on our framework, which isn't frequent, but it does happen, right? When teams aren't trained, like you said, the front desk, you know, you do a training with them so they can maximize the results. We do that as well. And then you have these offices that are like the top 1% and just blow it out of the water. You know, average would be, yeah, we could do an average, but it's not really going to tell you at all how it's going to work for you. Mm-hmm. You know, a very good thing to look at is I give a baseball analogy. Are you getting on base? You know, are you getting doubles and triples? Are you already winning? You know, chances are if you're already doing really well and we layer this in, you're just going to hit home runs, you know? And so it's vastly different for everybody, but talking about goals, talking about your team, who's in place, who's at the front desk, who's in the TC room, what's their conversion rate like already? Well, if we can get them 10, 20, 30 more people at that same conversion rate, here's what it looks like for you.
Right.
To me, that's a lot better than just average results.
Oh, that's, you know? I love that analogy. It reminds me of Moneyball, right? With my crush, Brad Pitt. Like it really is. If you are a practice that's already striking out every time at the plate, well, just get it throwing you at bat more isn't necessarily going to improve. Successful practices are typically successful for certain reasons, and they're going to be more successful as you layer some of these other things in and put together more comprehensive plans. Unsuccessful practices, there's typically a root cause of that. It could be personnel, it could be office, it could be demographics, it could be what they're, you know, there's a lot of things there. Could be mechanics of their approach of what they're doing. Back to baseball. And I think identifying those, and that's why it's so important in my mind for any marketing to control the variables. Know where this target audience, who are you targeting? Okay. And what are you delivering to them? What is that delivery? Whether it's postcard, ad, whatever it might be, what are you getting? Play to your strengths, right? If you have an ugly looking office, don't put it on your card, right? If you have a bad look, you know, play to some of your strengths there. But then, yeah, I agree with you 100% is don't keep striking out, figure out what you're missing and try to fix that and then put some gas on the fire typically see those offices do better.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to chat. If practice owners, office managers, COOs are watching this, want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Yeah, so our website is MVP, kind of like on the shirt, MVP Mailhouse, MAILHOUSE.com. You can fill out a contact us form there. I'll also even give my personal email. It's Aaron, AARON, at mvpmailhouse.com. Anyone watching this, I'm happy to do a free heat map analysis for you. I'll show you exactly where your patients are coming from. I have instructions for pretty much every practice management software out there. I just need to take 2 minutes, run a quick report, address list. And anyway, I go to work from there. And I'll show you where I think your opportunities are and where areas you should avoid based on some of these mental and geographical barriers of entry that we talked about. And if direct mail, if you're currently doing direct mail, I love analyzing that, what you're sending, where you're sending it, and I can give you some feedback there. That's the best way to get a hold of me. Go to our website or email me directly.
Perfect. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks so much. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to learn more about improving your healthcare marketing, day-to-day operations, and standing strong in your market, send us an email at hello@hipcreativeinc.com. That's hello@hipcreativeinc.com. Or jump over to our website at hip.agency.